sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Good shooting, John. Right on target.
You know, Darwin thought with the trade winds he could really move quickly through the water and evade the Beagle, but with our technology and super superior powers...
He wasn't fast enough.
We put that belly in the Beagle, a bullet that put him down to the bottom. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to this week's episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a lighthearted look at the very serious issues of... where we came from, with the idea of maybe learning something about where we're going. Did we come from a Big Bang? Then we're going to a Big Crunch. If we came from a special creation, maybe we got some special recreation coming
up.
Yay. That's good.
You know, sometimes when you get into the time of the year, May and June,
yes.
What really happens, most of America seems to, most of the sports are focused on races. You have the Kentucky Derby. You have
Olympics
coming up. The Indy 500. You have all these, you know, the Belmont. Mm-hmm. Big Ben lost the Belmont. And that's okay. It's the running of the races and the running of the bulls and other things that go on in the spring of the year, late spring of the year usually. And today we want to talk about how fast... was T-Rex. You know, it's interesting to read how fast science changes its mind sometimes. This is really more fun.
Competing theories, eh?
Yeah. Well, actually, what came out, this is taken from the National Geographic website, and they had competing articles coming out, and one said T-Rex was a slow plodder. You know, they try to figure out through what evidence they have of these animals exactly what they were like, what life was like for them, and one says he was slow. T-Rex was a slow scavenger who just kind of got lucky and ate whatever he found and ate about anything he wanted to eat, you know.
Well, we know T-Rex ate Edmontosaurus, which is a hadrosaur or duck-billed dinosaur, because they found remains that are roughly where the tummy was on a T-Rex. And they've also found Triceratops, same way, little bits of bones of that dinosaur in what appeared to have been the stomach of a T-Rex. But you can catch those guys either by running fast, if they're fast, or
finding them
kind of laying there, roadkill.
Roadkill, and T-Rex didn't run them over, just found them there.
So you can't tell by what they ate.
Some experts believe that T-Rex was so slow, he took up to 2 seconds just to turn 45 degrees. And now here on Sink the Beagle, we want you to understand how slow that is. So we're going to have my colleague Stan Hudson do a audio dramatization of a two-second turn.
This is a T-Rex turning 45 degrees.
Okay, ready? Go. Now let's hear T-Rex turning back 45 degrees. You know, you could have two kids on the side of T-Rex poking him on each side. They wouldn't have to worry at all, because by the time he spotted one, he'd be poking and starting to turn the other way. You could have him kind of twisting his head until he got dizzy and fell over, as long as you weren't in the path.
Seriously, when you look at the structure of a T-Rex, you know, he's like your worst nightmare in bones. You're almost wishing that this study was right. You hope he was slow. You wouldn't want to meet him any other way. You'd like to think you could outrun him. You've ever had one of those dreams where you're running from something and it's like,
Scat, move, getting eaten alive. No, about to be food.
After me.
You know, they once used to think that T-Rex ran up to 45 miles an hour. Ooh. And that's the depiction that Jurassic Park has left everybody.
Oh, yes.
You know, the fast raptors that just race down the road and
inspired many of those dreams.
Inspired probably most of those dreams, you know. They thought he weighed, 3 to 4 tons and he could be clipping along at 45 miles an hour. However, based on computer models.
Computer models.
It's guys that have nothing better to do just crunch data and play with things and make video games.
Speak nicely of computer nerds, please.
Okay. But anyway, they want to say that biomechanics of dinosaurs have been based on, basically what they try to do is base the biomechanics of a dinosaur on like modern examples, like an elephant, a living creature.
Yes.
They tried to use elephants and other things and say,
big guys.
They really
heavy
could
guys.
Only... T-Rex to get any kind of speed would have to really bend his knees and bend his legs a lot, and they're not sure if the fossil records of reconstructions really allow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Most of them agree that, you know, when you're looking, you know, if you look at living animals, they pretty much eat any, you know, they both, T-Rex is probably a scavenger and a predator. But how fast he went, we don't really know.
We don't know. But this first study that you're referencing was in June of 2007, and they said he was a slow prodder.
Okay? He was a slow prodder. So now we got June of 2007.
10 to 25 miles per hour at best.
At best. Now we go, oh, actually they even less than 10 miles
an
hour.
Oh, okay.
Less than 10 miles. But now when you go into the August 23rd, 2007 study, this is last year's work, you know.
Okay, that's a couple months later.
The same
also
website.
Also National Geographic.
Also National Geographic. T-Rex quicker and fastest than the fastest human studies say.
Okay.
T-Rex is really quick. You know, they want to criticize those who thought T-Rex was slower, and they want to make him faster than people.
Okay.
So they want to give T-Rex, you know, they kind of put him on the level of maybe Secretariat or something. I don't know.
A thought.
You know.
And they're running around the
They're coming around the back section. He's going the fastest. Carl Johnson is going this fast. And oh, T-Rex, he's coming. Always go eat him. That's T-Rex. It says even a 6-ton T-Rex could reach a top speed of 18 miles an hour, you know.
Oh.
And fit athletes, it says, run just a fraction slower, you know.
Which is all you need. I mean,
yeah, I T-Rex. All you need is a little
just
more.
Just a little faster.
And what they said, you know, the ones who said he was a plotter only use computer simulations, while
Wait
the ones
a minute.
Who say he's a racer
are using
supercomputer simulations.
Computer one fighting computer two.
You know,
okay.
Our computer T-Rex. Let's get in a video game and see who wins. You know,
and you know, John, what that reveals, among other things, is that it kind of depends upon what information computer you put in the computer.
And how you interpret the data, Stan.
Yeah,
it's really, really about, and what they're saying here is that it's a lot of fun, and it probably generates income for those who like to muse over these things.
Oh, T-Rex,
you can debate whether T-Rex was fast, whether he was slow, whether he was a vegetarian, whether he was a scavenger,
mm-hmm.
whether he was a bear, you know, had the diet of a bear, berries, and whatever he
what
found.
He did with those little bitty arms up
there. Yeah, they were good for nibbling on corn, you know. They came in handy for corn on the cob.
You know,
eater.
That's an image, isn't it?
Yes. The reality is you can debate those in science and hotly debate them even, and really not get in trouble. What you can't debate is that there were humans alive with T-Rex, and that T-Rex did not evolve from something else, and that T-Rex... You know, you can't, there's certain things that are off limits in the debate of evolution and creation. And there are certain things you can debate till the cows come home.
You know, that's
which are slower than T-Rex.
That's right. And we've talked about dinosaurs and man and whether they coexisted before. We talked about it on Sink the Beagle. And just for a brief summary of things we have said, I want to remind our listeners that we have pointed out that almost every corner of the earth, almost every ancient culture had memories of dragons, and that there were some human encounters with very large reptiles, and the fact is those kind of stories are all over the place. And I know evolutionists have said, well, it's because they dug up big bones and
they weren't archaeologists.
How could they figure from a big leg bone that was a big reptile? I don't think so.
And I don't think so. That's a stretch of the scientific imagination.
Yes.
You know, it's really kind of funny, Stan, when you get into this, you know, of deciding whether T-Rex could win a race or whether he would not win a race. You know,
thing, if he were behind me, you would see me breaking my own personal best.
Yes, or breaking your own personal back.
Something.
You know, one scientist said this. He said, "I've never done or trusted approaches." Talking about the supercomputer models.
This was the fast model.
This is the fast model. He said, "I've never trusted approaches like this because there's a lot of assumptions that go into these models, and it's very easy to get missed or overlooked about the results." You know, all of these these models, he said, has lots of assumptions, which we like to say that they're using another word for assumption from the biblical perspective.
Yes, is
faith.
Ooh, don't it's drop that F-bomb on
that
us.
That F-bomb. Faith, the F-word of, evolution, this,
Yes, they have to have faith. You have to believe in assumptions. It's kind of funny because he concludes this this article with, there's no way you can be that precise for an extinct animal. Unless, of course, you do have faith.
You know, we have a torpedo text, Dan, we'd like to turn to a little bit as we talk about races and running and the futility of stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here it is in Jeremiah 13 and verse 5. It says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses?
Yeah. You know, if you think that running and just living in here is rough on you, wait till the real troubles come.
Yes.
You know, wait till a T-Rex runs you down in life, so to speak. God's saying, you know, if you think that you can get away with this, you know, and that's caused you problems, just wait. Things are going to get worse.
You know, it's too bad you've seen all these T-Rexes and you try to build these models from T-Rexes because all the T-Rexes that we've ever seen are
dead.
It's pretty hard to imagine them alive, but they're dead.
They're dead.
And so,
how fast did T-Rex run, Stan?
Well, the answer is very simple. Not fast enough.
He didn't save himself.
Whatever caught him.
You know, and some people are running from God. They're running in a race from God. Mm-hmm. And God is sort of saying in this passage,
yes,
you think you can run away from me, and you're running from this trial and that trouble, or from this thing and that.
Yeah.
Wait till the stuff really gets... You're almost getting trampled now.
Yes.
You will be trampled. Don't run away. Paul says there is, though, a race to run. And it's the race of faith. I have run
I finished the course. I've kept the faith.
Despite all the obstacles, despite all the... And the irony is, though, when you read that passage... In the New Testament, the beautiful thing is that when you run the race of faith, you don't run it alone. It's not a competition where you try to beat everybody else across finish line. It's a race where you try knowing that finishing together is the only way.
Everyone who finishes wins.
Yeah.
There's no losers.
You know, all the T-Rexes did finish their race together. We have graveyards of them to prove it. They all died and got buried.
They weren't fast enough.
But you and I are running a different race. Mm-hmm. And it's not to the swift. Mm-hmm. It's not to the strong. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you're a scavenger or a predator. The idea is, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is, do you have faith in God?
That's right. And you don't have to be fast. You just need to, and it's not even how you start that counts. It's really how you end, how you finish the faith. Can you make it past that line?
And the irony is, you don't have to even come up with faith. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ has already given you a measure of faith. And if you keep it in him, he will finish it, because the Bible says he's the author and finisher. You can finish strong with Jesus Christ and know you've run the race well. Mm-hmm. And you don't run alone. Because, you know, the irony is that when you run the race from a Christian perspective, you're looking around to make sure no one else is getting trampled by the predators of this world.
Yeah.
You know, the devil roars around.
Roars like a lion, and he's chasing people down. Unfortunately, some people do get caught by him. And we don't want to be that way. We want to have faith. We want to finish the course. We want to keep the faith. We want to not be outrun by the old dragon, the devil.
So instead of looking at bones that of creatures that are dead, the Bible says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he will get us across the finish line of existence. It makes all kinds of sense. It's the only sense that really makes sense, and it's not. And that is our assumption.
Yep. And unlike T-Rex, we will be able to run fast enough. Tune into another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.